Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Z Hour, an interactive talk show celebrating the written word. Presented by the Zahme Publishing Press, www.zahme.com. That's ZHARMAE.com.
Hello, hello, everybody. Today is Sunday, September 13th, 2015, and it's Alicia. Hi, everybody. And it's time for the written word. Yay, my favorite time of the week. Today's show is brought to you by FirstReadsFirst.com, as you already know, because you listen every week, because you are a loyal, dedicated, Facebook-liking fan of Radio Z and me and everything that we talk about here on The Written Word and all of our wonderful, wonderful authors and bloggers and guests. You are just so almost stalkerishly obsessed with our show that you know exactly what time it is, exactly what day it is, and exactly what's going on, because it is your favorite time of the week, too, I hope. So, firstreadsfirst.com. If you cannot figure out what you need to read next, which, you know, if your Goodreads to-be-read list is not as long as mine, then head over to firstreadsfirst.com, that's reads with a Z, and preview some amazing books to add to your to-be-read list or to instantly fall in love with and go buy and then read and then can't put it down, and then review it, because that's awesome. Today's is Terrorism Fantasy Fiction, Pushing the Limits. Kind of an interesting topic. You know, I love it when we do controversial, interesting topics that could potentially go bad places, because that's entertainment, right? I was a little bit nervous about this episode, to be frank. I think that I have never written any speculative fiction based on any kind of historical events, but I do have war in my science fiction series, which obviously involves terrorism. I guess I just never thought of it that way. So I think that this is going to be really a thought-provoking, this episode. I think that most of us use, not most of us, but I think a lot of us writers use some form of terrorism as, you know, a plot pusher or, you know, to develop our story. If it's, you know, whether it's the Hunger Games or anything dystopian or anything war, which is a lot of things lately, has a lot of terrorism in it. I think it's just the word. The word made me nervous. So let's not be nervous about the word today as we discuss how terrorism is used in fantasy fiction. And also, I wanted to talk a little bit about this amazing article that I read about speculative fiction in light of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, which is, it shows a lot of different sides of it, and how, you know, gives examples of how terroristic acts in the past have been used to inspire fiction novels or stories that at first were not accepted but eventually evolved into accepted, or, you know, a piece on how to understand that time and all that. So I do want to read some snippets from that later on in the show. But we are going to be joined shortly by Brian Dorsey. But first, I wanted to do some housekeeping. If you would like to call in at any point during this episode and talk to us about this interesting and thought-provoking topic, the phone number is 347-996-3900. And if you're an author or writer, then the question of the day, I guess, is Have you ever written any speculative fiction that involves terrorism, whether it's based on reality like the 9/11 attacks, or whether it's just putting terrorism in your novel in some way, shape, or form? Please call in and tell us about it. Tell us about how it made you feel. Were you nervous? Were you reluctant? Were you excited to discuss something like that and write it in a way that you could understand and others could understand? Give us a call. Once again, number is 347-996-3900. And if you haven't yet, please go like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/TZPPRadioZ. It's a great way to connect with us. You can talk to us on there. You can send us messages right on our wall. And we will answer your questions during the next show. We'll take your topic suggestions. And, yeah, you can go ahead and talk to us on there, please. Facebook.com/TZPPRadioZ. And Brian is here, I'm thinking. Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little all over the place today, but I will be fine.
Well, I think this is going to be a very interesting topic.
Yes, sorry. Very interesting topic. So do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Brian Dorsey, and I am a retired naval officer. Also currently still work for the U.S. Navy. I instruct nuclear engineers on how to do maintenance on aircraft carriers. But on top of that, also a history buff. I have a degree in history and a master's in social science, so I'm kind of all over the place academically. And I figured, what better for somebody who likes science fiction, history, and social science than to write science fiction? Actually, for this topic itself, I also have a certificate in National Security Studies from the Naval Postgraduate School, so ready to dig into terrorism.
Wow, yeah, that's awesome. So you are definitely qualified, more qualified than this topic today. So we'll go ahead and introduce you first. Have you been on the show before?
No, this is actually my first time. I've written a couple books through Zarme. I have Gateway, which has been out for just about a year now. Military space opera is what I like to call it. So it's kind of like a thinking man's military science fiction. And the follow-up to that, Saint, comes out in November. And then I also have some serial novellas that follow one of the more interesting characters in the series, Captain Emily Martin, follows her as a young lieutenant, and that's Draxia's Lost, which is out currently, and then Draxia's Redeemed, which comes out actually next week.
Awesome. Would you like to tell us what Gate...
Yes, definitely. So Gateway follows our lead character. His name's Tyler Stone. He's a commander of an elite force in his civilization, the Humani civilization. They've been carrying out this clandestine war for generations against their enemies, the Terrillians. Through Gateway, though, our main character comes to find out some things about his culture that makes him kind of forces him to make a choice between duty and honor. And it kind of takes a deeper look at what patriotism means and also what happens when you find out that the civilization and culture that you based your fundamental beliefs on is not what you thought that it was. So we kind of follow him as he makes that decision and decides to go with honor over duty, and that will lead the way to several other books.
So, did you just start writing recently, or?
Actually, I've been writing on and off for quite a while. I've done a fair amount of academic writing. I have some academic publications in history One looking at recruitment of African Americans during the Civil War, and my master's thesis was lucky enough to have published, and it actually looks at Southern West Virginia post-Civil War up to modern day. But I've kind of always had the sci-fi bug, so I had this story in my head for probably about 15 years, and then a few years ago I just decided to go ahead and sit down and write it. That started the path to get me here.
Awesome. So, do you have... do you listen to music or anything like that?
Would you be able to repeat that again? My phone was kind of breaking up.
Do you have any weird quirks that you do when you write? Like, do you listen to music or do you only do it in a certain place?
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of all over the place. I definitely listen to music. If you go to YouTube and do a search for Gateway Military Science Fiction, you'll find actually a playlist that I kind of listen to that kind of ties into some of the characters and the scenes from the Gateway series. But definitely listen to music while I'm writing. Also, I don't know. I think my technique is kind of all over the place. Sometimes I'll sit down and I'll just, you know, clack away for hours at a time. Other times I'll just sit it down and step away for a couple of weeks, and then I'll find myself out somewhere without my laptop and I'll just start writing notes down. So kind of helter-skelter, I guess.
So you are in the Navy. You went to school for, what'd you say, like Homeland Security or something, and you write science fiction. What kind of books do you read?
I read, for the most part, is actually history and social science related stuff. My master's program was a social science master's, but it really focused on Native American and U.S. history, and then to satisfy the government's needs, since the Navy paid for it. Also took graduate courses in Middle East and Chinese history. So, like I said, kind of everywhere. Of course, I like some of the sci-fi classics. Obviously, Foundation is one of my favorites. I read that. Actually, reading it the second time right now. And for current guys, I like Scalzi. Reading his stuff, Old Man's War was pretty good. And I'm just getting into Ghost Brigades. And then actually Joshua Dunn, another Zarme author, I've been reading him lately as well.
So how do you find inspiration?
You know, it's one of those, I don't think I find it. I think it just kind of hits me on the head. example today, I was out grouse hunting in the rain this morning, so I figured I would get in a quick hunt before I called in, and traipsed around through the woods, and I start to go up a hill, and I realized that I pick a point where I'm going to stop and rest, and the whole scene from the third book of the Gateway series just popped in my head, from the main character talking to a recruit about, are you going to be the kind of person who rests at the bottom of the hill or the top of the hill? So just strange things like that.
Cool. Okay, just a couple more questions. These ones are a little bit more obscure.
Okay.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Oh, I would say probably super intelligence. I think, and that's just because if you're smart enough, you can pretty much figure everything else out. So.
And then, who is your favorite villain?
Favorite villain. I have to think for a bit on that one. Favorite villain. Well, there's always a classic Darth Vader. But recently, probably one of my favorites, because I've watched it probably 15 times now, is from Serenity, the Agent. Because he's the bad guy, but he's very devoted, and he sees their importance in what he's doing. So I really like those villains that aren't just, you know, the black and white, you know, version of the villain with some curled mustache tying the girl to the train for no reason, but actually have a, you know, a logical, moral reason behind doing what they're doing, and they've convinced themselves that it's the right thing to do. So in their mind, they're not the villain.
Those are the best kind of villains. Of course, you also have to sometimes just appreciate the psycho of a Joker-esque villain who's just going to do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, that is definitely true. In those cases, you know, maybe their, you know, chaos is their end state, so that is their moral belief, is that chaos is going to be the one true reality. Or maybe I'm overthinking it. I don't know.
That's a good theory. Okay. So, yeah, that's it for the interview. If you are...
Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
The question of the day is, if you are an author or a writer and you have written some works involving terrorism, please call in and share your stories with us, how it made you feel, why you chose to write that way, and especially if you have taken your terroristic storytelling from a real event that actually happened. The phone number is 347-996-3900. And yeah. So.
Yeah, I was doing a little looking prior to this, and I came across, there's actually in the UK in about 2007, there was a series that came out, an anthology that was called Glorifying Terrorism. And I didn't even know that it existed before, but there was a law in England that came out in 2006, basically saying that you couldn't publish anything that glorified terrorism. And so this publisher went out and pulled people together to write a series of stories that were basically using terrorists as their heroes, and put that out. So, but I haven't been able to read it or anything. I just came across it a couple of days ago. But it sounds like it would be something definitely very interesting to take a look at.
So they did it like as a rebellion against the law.
Yeah, it was basically their form of protest against the law. But I mean, I think, you know, a lot of those things, it's all based on perspective. You know, everybody says that, you know, one person's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter. But, you know, even though it's kind of cliche, when you really start digging deep, you know, there's always a reason for people to go to such extremes. And you got to look at the underlying social structures and the life that they lead that makes them believe taking such radical action is the logical choice. So it's one of the hardest things to do, is to put yourself in the shoes of someone who does something that you think is reprehensible, and then figure out, you know, try to see it from their perspective. But
what I'm going to have to do in my next book. Which is why... You know, the two sides of this weight...
Hey, Alicia, I'm going to call you on another... The technology is failing me. I will be just a second. Okay.
Alrighty. And we are waiting for technical difficulties, which there are not too many of on this Blog Talk Radio. I'm actually quite surprised. It actually works really well. Maybe it's just phones. You would think in this day and age that phones would just be... and they'd never have any problems.
Oh, it's me. I'm back. Yeah,
you're
no,
much
I'm pretty
clearer.
Sure it's my fault.
You're like
I think it's my phone.
You're a billion times clearer. Like, it's
yeah,
ridiculous.
I'm a little bit sometimes of a technical holdout, so I'm about two versions of the iPhone behind, but also, you know, about 15 years ago, I had a 72 Blazer and still listen to an 8-track, so odd for a sci-fi guy. I'm a little slow in the uptake for some technologies, but I think we're good now.
Oh, yeah. Are you on a landline?
I am, as a matter of fact.
You have a landline. I don't even know anybody who has a landline anymore, but it's obviously a million times better. Now I'm, like, reconsidering my cell phone because you are very clear.
Now, I'm pretty sure my cell phone's just a piece of junk. So.
Anyway, back to the topic. We were talking about how, how you have to see it from all sides.
There's a pretty strong terrorism element in Saint that's coming out in November, the second in the Gateway series. I kind of threw it in there just to kind of show how religion used in the wrong way can just kind of make a mess of everything. So in the second book, we've got the two sides that are obviously in conflict with each other, but one of the sides tries to basically create this this religion that they can use for their own benefit to get these recruits for, I don't want to give too much stuff away, but to recruit people for one of their causes. And what happens is the guy that they use is basically the master con man to get it going, kind of drinks his own Kool-Aid and starts believing that he is this messiah-like character. But what's happened is this he's drawn his recruits from this basically like a DMZ area where life is really hard and harsh and it's just really, really rough. And a lot of these people start to look toward this religious movement and what, you know, they're saying is offered in the afterlife, and they basically become fanatics to follow this guy. And once he turns against, you know, the people he was supposed to be, you know, basically running this ruse for, he just kind of causes a mess for everybody. And so the next two books at least probably is going to be them trying to clean up this mess that is not going to be easily cleaned up.
Hmm. What, your book is Gateway? The
yes.
More you talk about it, the more I want to read it. I love myself some sci-fi.
Yeah.
As a sci-fi writer and a sci-fi reader.
Yeah, I really tried to put a lot of effort into building the cultures and the societies before I went about how those characters would, my main characters, how they would be formed by those societies and cultures, and then I just kind of throw them against each other and see what happens. So. And I think that the social science background and the history background really, really helped create those worlds. So, and like I said, it's that, you know, the whole military space opera is what I call it, because it's not your typical shoot 'em ups military sci-fi. Even though there's space battles and land battles, you know, and most of the main characters are in the military, but I took a lot of time to make the characters, you know, have some depth. And then there's a whole element of blind patriotism, and then the second one we really start looking at like religion gone awry, and then the third one I'm actually working on right now, we take these military people and we put one of them back into society, and it's kind of the same thing that was said during the recent wars we've gone through, is, you know, the military went to war and the rest of America went to the mall, and so we put this combat veteran back into like real life, so to speak, and we really start looking at, like, there's certain elements. Some of these people are actually pretty damaged people, you know, and they've done a lot of things, and they're trying to relate to people who have no concept of what it is that they do. And so that's one of the aspects that will come out in the third book as well.
Hmm. So bringing it back to terrorism, and I'm kind of having like an a hard time, like, defining terrorism. I mean, I would think that terrorism is, like, and you know, an attack on the masses that's supposed to instill fear or start a war or something along those lines. But, like, in my book series, I never thought of any of the things that happened because of the war as terrorist attacks. I only thought of it as, like, just because they're in the middle of a war, and so a war is one attack and the other attack. So, I mean, I guess my question is, how would you define terrorism, and, you know, what is that line, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think actually just because of the academic side of it, for the definition that we always hear, at least from the military side, when I was doing my graduate studies, was basically it's any act of violence that's done in order to use fear to create a political objective, which is pretty dry and academic. But and I think one of the things that makes it difficult for writers to realize, oh, I'm writing about terrorism, is because of that fact of what I talked about earlier, is when you write it, you want it to make sense. You want to get into that character and say, okay, this is why this character is going to go and, you know, blow themselves up, or this is why this character is going to attack, you know, a civilian population or something like that. Because in order to do that as a writer, you have to make it legitimate in your head to some degree, so it's harder to spot that hard definition of terrorism, because you're almost putting yourself in the mind of the terrorist, so to speak, and from their viewpoint is not terrorism. They're fighting a legitimate form of war. So, yeah, it's tough. But I think, you know, it also depends on whether you're looking at the leadership of that, you know, we'll call it a terrorist organization, or if you're talking about the foot soldiers, so to speak, that go out and carry out these acts. You know, a lot of, like, if you look at today's world, a lot of the major terrorist organizations are led by people who are, you know, obviously charismatic, you know, intelligent, but at the same time, in my mind, there's a certain amount of cowardice to it, because they're not willing to go out and do the things that need to get done. They will manipulate people to get them to go out and do it for them. And they use those people's, you know, where they're at in life, whether they're from, you know, they're subjected to a lot of violence in their daily life, or they see, you know, there's nothing for them, you know, in their current existence. And then they offer all these things that they never really have to, you know, pay out on. And they're not the ones that are strapping bombs to themselves and walking into buildings. It's the average person, you know. So one of the things I did in Gateway is I actually have the leader taking a step that you wouldn't expect from, like, your modern-day terrorist, because that kind of hit on me as I was thinking about writing it. Like I said, I don't want to give away too much, but he does something that you would not expect, like an Osama bin Laden or someone like that to do. Just because, you know, I hit on it and I was like, no, he's going to be different than that, because he's bought into it himself enough. So.
So I looked it up, and it says the definition officially of terrorism is the use of violence and intimidation in the pursuit of political aims. So that's pretty much exactly what you said. And so now that I think about it, most war is terrorism. There isn't a line, because war is only for political aims. I mean, pretty much that's it. I mean, that's all. I mean, even oil wars or whatever is political at its very core. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know, I guess the word, especially in the post 9/11 world, the word has always made me nervous. Like, I would never use the word terrorism. I mean, I'm not a Fox News host, so I don't just throw it around all willy-nilly.
Yeah. No, I think the way that the Western world looks at it is, if you're going to define something as an act of terrorism, it's usually not against, even though sometimes it can be, it's not against what you would call a hard target in the military. It's not going to be against, you know, a a military base or something like that in most cases. And even if it is, it's not going to be against fully armed soldiers. It's going to be, like the base shooting we had a few years back, or it's going to be against civilians because they're soft targets. And a lot of times if you are a weaker opponent and you have enough people that are still believe in the cause, that's where you can get those people who are willing to sacrifice themselves in order to carry that war to an enemy they wouldn't be able to reach by pure military might, so they do it through proxy by the terrorist attacks and mm-hmm. try to use that to gain that political edge that they can't gain militarily.
So I'm thinking about books where terrorism is not exactly displayed, but it's used as a motivation for, I was thinking about like the Pretties and Uglies series by Scott Westerfield and like the Hunger Games and stuff like that, and Insurgent or Divergent. Those series are all based on, a society post-terrorism, and they use the idea of terrorism or the terrorist attack that happened way back when or whatever as a way to control the masses. And I was thinking how, and this is just my brain being weird, how that in of itself is terrorism because they're using intimidations in the pursuit of political aims.
Yeah, and it's they actually have a definition that splits. It's basically state-sponsored terrorism and non-state-sponsored terrorism. And usually it's meant to be used in terms of like Iran is supporting terrorists or something like that. But definitely in the form when you're looking at some of those books you mentioned, that the state itself is using. One word could be it's being an oppressive, dictatorship, or it's being authoritarian, but to the person that's feeling that's not much different than terrorism. If you look at V for Vendetta, also, the hero in that was a terrorist. He wanted to blow up, a government building. So there's a lot of things, and it's all from that different perspective that you look at. I was looking at a few other things. I'm not sure if you're a fan of Battlestar Galactica, particularly the reboot, but there's, when they were on New Caprica, they actually had some examples of suicide bombers there, from the human side. So they were also taking a look at that concept of terrorism and what does it mean, that whole freedom fighter versus terrorist perspective.
I think an excellent example of this is the Daredevil series that just came out on Netflix a couple months ago, because the villain, and this actually kind of ties into your answer for the your favorite kind of villain, he was, he has all this past with the neighborhood, and he just wants to clean up the city, like Hell's Kitchen. He wants to just clean it up, and so he is like bombing buildings, and he's getting he's taking control of the drugs and all that, and all the mafia and the mob, and like he's taking control of it and then taking them down from the inside, blowing up all the Russian mafia headquarters and all that stuff. And he's like doing all this crazy stuff, but it's because he wants to take it all down and build up from nothing in order to create a safer place to live, because he had a bad childhood there and hated how terribly unsafe it was and all that.
Yeah, actually, I've heard a lot about that, and I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to have to start watching that.
Yeah, I mean, he's very well-meaning. It's very strange.
Yeah, I think in all those...
definitely crazy, but...
Yeah, and I think in all those cases, if you really get at the core of it, and, even when you're writing and you want to have somebody do something really bad... but, have them, own it, you either have to make them, bad for bad sake, or you've got to create a history for them, that makes them latch onto some ideology that drives home the necessity of whatever action they're going to take. I was watching, I don't know if you saw it, there's a World War II movie called Fury, had Brad Pitt in it. Shia LaBeouf, which actually was like the one movie that he was in that I liked. they did really well in that. But he's got a line in there that when he said it, I was like, man, I wish I'd thought of that. He looks at the one kid and he says, ideologies are peaceful, history is violent. And that whole concept of people can sit in this crystal palace all day long and think of how great the world should be and what should happen and all these other things. But in order to get there, you know, it's not quite as easy.
Yeah. So I think that in a lot of writing, it's almost a necessity. I mean, in anything that's military or dystopian, it's just a natural part of writing, and you never really think of it as terrorism. Like, there's plenty of things that happen in my book series as a result of the war that I would have never thought as writing terrorism in fantasy fiction.
Mm-hmm. Well, but and it's tough, too, because when you start talking about, you know, you're writing military science fiction and you're talking about war, I mean, that is about as violent of an act, you know, as people are going to commit, is killing someone else, you know. And so how far do you go down that rabbit hole? What do you, you know, what emotions are they going to have before and after and during? In the novella series, The Draxius Lost, the main character is Emily Martin, so she's an officer in the main series as well, but I go back and follow her as a young lieutenant. But they get stuck with a prisoner, and they're trying to get information. So I'd go down the rabbit hole of torture. You know, what do they do? You know, and her feelings about them trying to get information from this prisoner. You know, it's a necessity because they're trying to get information to get people back from their group that have been captured. But at the same time, she sees the difference between, you know, killing people in open combat and actually having a prisoner tied up and basically torturing them to get information. So,
yeah, it's definitely different. One of the things in my series that I was having some issues with is that I had her, my main character, fought in, like, the heat of battle, and I never used the word kill. She never acknowledged that she killed anyone. I'm not quite sure if she did yet or not, but there's a lot of things that just happen. Like, she has to get through these people that are attacking her and, you know, get to the other side of the, you know, and she does what she has to, and... You know, that's kind of like, I don't know, that's kind of a different topic, you know, as opposed to terrorism, which is getting away from terrorism.
But I mean, I think a lot of it all comes back to that, you know, terrorism is an act of violence. So what drives people toward an act of violence, you know? And the end result, if you're looking at it from the terrorist perspective, is what is the difference between, you know, me trying to go and, you know, blow up a military installation or blow up a school. You know, one's going to be a lot easier than the other one, and one's probably going to get a lot more media attention, which is going to cause more social, you know what I mean? So, you know, in that mind, if you see everyone from that, your opposite or your, you know, whoever your enemy is, if you see all of them as the enemy, then it's a pretty easy step in their mind to make that decision.
Well, I think also one of the things about the difference there is that when you attack civilians, you cause a lot more fear in civilians. I think that as society, we would be more fearful if they're blowing up schools and you know, public places than if they're engaged on military bases. Because in our minds, if they're on a military base, if it's the two militaries are fighting and that's what's happening in war, whereas if they're attacking civilians, then everybody's at risk. Everybody feels like they could be blown up at any given time. There's a certain level of fear there that's instilled in society that's just plain not when it's military on military,
mm-hmm.
end of story. Even if it's a military base in the United States, that still, I mean, that still doesn't cause nearly as much anxiety for the population, which sucks for us people. We kind of suck for that, but yeah, we definitely are more affected by innocents getting, not innocents, but civilians getting attacked than people who signed up for it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and that's the dichotomy when you look at, you know, we'll look at modern day terrorism, you know, I guess from the form of jihadism or something like that. But when you look at Israel, I mean, they live that on, you know, day to day. The fact that, you know, they are extremely vulnerable to those types of attacks, and they have to still carry out their daily lives, you know. And it's all, again, you know, that the fact that it's when we look at it and say, you know, there's, you know, it's going to cause more fear in the civilian population, vice, you know, the military who's prepared for it and, you know, who's, you know, innocent, I think is a good term to use for the discussion. And from the terrorist viewpoint of who is innocent, is every American guilty if you're a jihadist, you know, or is just the military, or is it the government? And it all depends on that ideology that gets pumped into you when, you know, one of those leaders finds you in that weakest place in your life and say, this is what's going to, you're going to need to do to make things better.
Mm-hmm. So bringing it back to writing, I did want to discuss this article that was shared with me about, it was about post 9/11 speculative fiction. So people started writing stories and novels using the 9/11 terrorist attacks as the basis for their story. And the author of the article was almost disturbed by the manner in which it was used. I mean, there were some stories that were humorous and that downplayed, or that, you know, I did want to touch on that concept, you know, is it appropriate to use historical events in fiction, and is there like a, when is, how soon is too soon, and when do we get over the too soon hump?
Yeah.
And into the land of acceptance.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think particularly in fiction, that decision is completely up to the author. And I think that's one of the beauties of fiction. Sometimes it's supposed to make you not feel comfortable, you know. Sometimes it's supposed to offend you. All those things, if used in the right context, open up dialogue. And so by all means, I think, you know, depending on how you express it, and if your goal in writing is to, you know, get a response, elicit a response, and get people to think about it, you know, limits are pretty much out the door. I would even say sometimes limits on good taste. If enough people don't like it, then they're just not going to read it. But I think as a writer, you just got to be, got to put down what's in your head and then see where it goes. I mean, I think particularly, like, you know, you mentioned some of them were kind of humorous. You know, this is going back a little bit, not quite tied to terrorism, but the whole MASH series from TV and the movie, you know, that was making light of a very serious situation, the Korean War. But at the same time, it used that humor to point out very human elements of that existence. So I think if done correctly, and, you know, depending on what the writer is trying to get across, I don't think there is a too soon for the writer. The too soon will be determined by the readers, I guess.
Well, and also the person who wrote it was very uncomfortable with the fact that it happened, and had a very, you know, it was distasteful in his eyes. I wouldn't say that he was totally against it, but he definitely was not happy about it. And I was thinking, you know, he was basically saying that the people who chose to write these stories were tactless, and I disagree with that. I think that as a writer, sometimes things like that are what inspire you. Things like that are what dig up deep emotions and cause chaos in your writer brain, and something has to come out. I mean, most writers, in my opinion, take inspiration from things that make them feel, and those are just things that made everybody feel. And I think that it's perfectly logical for somebody to write it, whether it's to express their feelings about it or to see it from a different perspective in order to deal with their feelings about it. I mean, I think that it's actually probably healthy for us to try and take something that hurts so bad, and instead of preserving it in this box, this glass case where it still hurts so bad, if you could take it and redefine it and work with it in order to come to terms with it and move forward. I mean, history happens. This stuff happened. And I think that it's a good thing for us to explore different aspects of it and use fiction as a way to explore different aspects of it. Just like you said about seeing things from both sides, fiction gives us the opportunity to understand why things happen when otherwise we wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think that whole ability to kind of encapsulate that emotion that you're feeling, you know, for a writer, who knows what's going to come out once you get, you know, a certain, you know, inspiration or a feeling, or you're fixated on something. But, you know, that's the mechanism by which you get things out of your system and you're able to move on. Maybe some of the people who were writing those were really, you know, obviously I haven't read them, so I don't know the context of them, but, you know, it could have been cathartic for them, maybe, you know, and it may offend 90% of the population, but 10% might be like, hey, that's just what I needed. So I would be more than happy to write something that 10% of the American population wanted to read.
Well, and I think that writing is a freedom. I mean, it's freedom of speech. There's really, I think that the article honestly was a little bit ridiculous, because any article that says that people shouldn't write about things, or that even proposes the idea that somebody shouldn't write, is just preposterous in my mind. People should be able to write whatever they please. Writing makes the world go round, or at least my world.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, of course, you know, it's one of our societal things today is, you know, you don't want to hurt people's feelings and, you know, all these other things, but, you know, it's that fine line between, well, what is freedom of speech? Is it, am I impending on, you know, or am I, you know, getting into someone else's freedom by something that I say or I do? You know, I think we've got a lot of people that feel that way today, you know, in terms of like religious freedom. You know, religious freedom shouldn't be the ability to prevent someone else from doing something. It should be your ability to practice your own beliefs, not prevent someone else from practicing theirs. So I think there's a lot of that going on, and it just kind of carries out to everything. That's why someone's, you know, going to write an article about, you know, fiction and be offended by it.
My aunt always says she hates how politically correct we've all become, and we're so concerned about the stupidest things that we're letting all the important things slip by.
Mm-hmm.
We do get really, I mean, the masses tend to get offended really easily.
Yeah. No, there was actually...
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Yep, nope. You've got the floor. Go ahead.
I was thinking about this definition of terrorism again, and, you know, I never thought about it. I never thought about the definition of terrorism, and it's, you know, that whole using fear in the pursuit of political aims, and my mind is just exploding, because there's so many acts of terrorism happening every day. On the news, on the, you know, Donald Trump, I mean, like, everybody and their brother is using, I mean, we're just in like a fear-mongering society. I mean, everything is about fear-mongering. Nobody's trying to do anything positive in order to get political or for political aims. I mean, nobody, like, or at least it just goes unnoticed. It's crazy. This is crazy. I'm sorry. I'm like mind blown right now. This definition of terrorism, but, man.
Yeah. And then, like I said, you know, you can almost put yourself in any character's perspective or any person's perspective, you know, whether you look at like police violence or violence against police or, you know, marriage equality or non, you know, all these things, and you look at from everybody's different perspective, and then the whole your whole perspective and definition of the world changes, and terrorism is just another one of those things that it's really hard to look at the other side, you know. You really got to make a concerted effort to go and try to figure out why that is that people, you know, want to fly airplanes into buildings. Why were they willing to do that? What made them think that was the right moral choice to do? You know, and it's a hard thing to do.
Fiction writing gives us that perspective, or, you know, it gives us the opening for that perspective.
Yeah, there's that just reminded me of a scene in the second The Saint, which is the second book in a Gateway series coming out in a month or so, that there's a scene where the characters come across this this father whose daughter has just been killed, and they're trying to ask why, you know, he's didn't join the army that was supposed to be fighting off these waves of these fanatical religious people that are basically trying to take over their planet. And he's like, they haven't promised anything. They're worse oppressors than these religious people. And now my daughter's dead. What are they going to do? Who's going to bring her back? You know? And so I try to pick a person, to not get too far into the scene, but pick a person to kind of symbolize that average person that makes the decision of like, oh, I'm going to join these guys now because now it makes sense to me in the world that I'm in. And so I picked him out to use as a kind of like an explanation for why this movement was growing the way that it was.
So we are actually coming to the end of our hour, which is awesome, but because we actually talked the whole time. I was really nervous about this topic. I mean, I don't think about terrorism ever, like, at all. I didn't realize I was that I was the person who wrote about it. But I actually feel a lot better because it does. I think that the best thing we can take away from this topic is that, you know, it is necessary in any kind of military or, you know, war related dystopian kind of fiction, and it gives us the opportunity to see all sides. I really like that. That's what we ended up discussing.
Yeah,
I'm very pleased with that.
Yeah, I think if you're going to write about, you know, any use of violence, either by government or non-government, you know, you just got to jump in and own it, I guess.
So do you want to, give yourself like an outro, invite people to look you up on your website and your social media and to buy your book?
Yeah, sure.
All that.
Yep.
Okay.
So I've got a webpage. It's www.briandorseybooks.com. And you go there, and it's got basically updates on how things are going with the book publications. You get a link to all the Amazon reviews. Doing pretty well so far. Gateway's about a 4.8 out of 5 with over 50 reviews. Draxius Lost is about a 4.7, I think. So those are doing well. Also, since I really like the world building, you can go in and you can learn stuff about the governments. There's some great concept art by Jed Tarkowski. So if you like pictures of spaceships and different landscapes and things like that, you can go look at the concept art. Also laid out, for those guys who really like the tech, I've laid out ship specifications, all that kind of stuff. So you can go there and just kind of see the Gateway universe itself. And I've also got a contact page so you can just click on and send me a question if you got a question about the book or anything like that. Other than that, I've also got a Facebook page. It's Brian Dorsey. You can go there. And then again, I've got Draxius Redeemed coming out September 17th, which is the second book in the novella series from Draxius Lost. And then I've got book two of the main series, which is Saint, coming out November 5th. And myself and a few other Zarmi authors will also be at the Jet City Comic Con October 31st and November 1st in Tacoma. So if you're in the area, stop on by.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
All right.
All right. Well, I will talk to you later.
All righty, folks. That was today's show on terrorism and fantasy fiction. I really enjoyed this topic, considering I was very nervous about it for no reason at all. Of course, Brian Dorsey's extensive knowledge and history and education in the topic really helps, like super qualified over there. And his book is amazing. I'm buying it right now. But he talked way too much about it. So yeah, we will be back next week, the same time, the same place. And if you would like to give us a shout out or talk to us about anything on the in between now and next Sunday, please check out our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/TZPPRadioZ, or just type in Radio Z up in the search bar, and it should be like the first or second thing that pops up. It's Radio Z, and then there's a dash, and then it says the written word, and at the top of the page it says, every Sunday at 4 o'clock p.m. with your host, Alicia Love. That's me. So go like it, invite your friends, and talk to us. We love to hear from you. And we also will talk to you next week at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Alrighty, I'll see you guys then. Bye.